The base in Manas, Kyrgyzstan, is a clash between the airport terminal's bleak Soviet architecture and American military prefab buildings erected next to a tent city dubbed Hotel Alaska, the transit point for thousands of U.S. service members heading to and from Afghanistan. Makeshift shops and kiosks line an array of repurposed shipping containers where local vendors sell Muslim prayer rugs, and storefront windows offer us the small tokens of our worldly travels, as once promised to us by our recruiters back home. Offensive Velcro patches, including ones with the word infidel, are sold despite regulations that forbid wearing such flair. The base's internet cafes, the communal showers, and the bar where Marines are banned from drinking with airmen because of inter-service fistfights will soon cease to be part of my daily routine. The overpriced postcards and Russian matryoshka dolls, made in China, mark the final threshold before we enter the war in Afghanistan. Once there, our mission is to spend our seven-month tour dislodging the Taliban from villages around Musa Qala district in Helmand province, helping the Afghan government extend security and services. This will involve daily foot patrols and the use of violence, gun battles, airstrikes, and artillery to weaken enemy forces, push them back, take territory, and secure control of the area. Clear, hold, and build. This three-stage process forms the basis of the war's counterinsurgency doctrine, known as COIN, which has emerged as the military strategy of choice by the ninth year of the Afghan occupation. My unit's transit week in Kyrgyzstan revolves around counting and recounting and cleaning and reclaiming our weapons, night vision goggles, and thermal optics. I kill time eating single-serving packets of Kellogg's cereal at a chow hall inside a vinyl tent. I eat sandwiches with sliced deli meats, baked bread still warm from the oven, and local produce. It's one of the last chances I'll have to enjoy fresh food for the duration of our deployment. The snow-capped peaks of nearby mountains remind me of the Appalachian Trail. I wonder if I will ever ski those mountains again. For 3 days, our flight into Afghanistan is delayed due to weather. I call home as often as I can, and I speak with my wife, Mel, for 30 minutes at a time. I try to hide my fears. I can't talk with Mel about the fact that I'm heading into one of the deadliest districts in Helmand province. That will have to wait. But I'm disturbed by the thought of seeing fellow Marines killed or dismembered, as I saw in Iraq on my first deployment 6 years earlier. And I think about the possibility of my own death. Mel knows I won't share my concerns with her, but I can tell she senses my trepidation. We don't want to stress each other out by talking about it. Our conversations become awkward. My mind plays tricks on me. Memories from home make me think I may not live to make new ones. Talking about our daughter, Madison, or Maddie, makes me worry that she might have to grow up without me. Mel doesn't probe. Instead, we talk about buying a new house when I get home and about having another child. We focus on our future together. The idea of a life and of happiness after this war gives us hope, something to cling to during the lonely months ahead. As we talk, I can hear Maddie playing with her toys in the background and shouting, "Mommy, look!" Each time I hang up, I think it could be the last time I tell my girls I love them. It's not goodbye, it's see you later, I tell Mel at the end of each call. Then I hand my prepaid phone card to the next Marine waiting in line. The last image I have of Mel and Maddie is of them in tears as our bus pulled out of the parking lot at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, 1 week earlier. I can't stop thinking about that moment. I hold my emotions in check until I can get outside. I don't want anyone here to see me crying. Leaving this time isn't like my previous deployment to Iraq in 2004. That was easy. I wasn't yet a husband or a father. I was 19, fresh out of high school, and in my first year of a 4-year enlistment. I still didn't know what war was like. I got one last mommy hug, as my mother and I call them, and strolled through Boston's airport security without any luggage. Everything I needed was in the barracks in North Carolina or locked inside the armory on base. On the day of our departure, I sat on the bus as other Marines and sailors said their goodbyes. They had people to see them off. I didn't. My second deployment, to Kuwait in June 2006, at the end of my first enlistment, was basically a seven-month booze cruise through the Mediterranean on the USS Iwo Jima, with short party stops in France and Italy, lots of time to kill on board with constant drills and training, and longer stopovers in Djibouti and Jordan. The start of that trip was also my last dry-eyed walk onto a deployment bus. I waited for Mel to leave before wiping away my tears. I was a salty lance corporal with combat experience, and while deploying had become part of my routine, I couldn't imagine what it must be like for her saying goodbye to someone going to war.